entered a Boston Marathon to run in memory of his three friends who were killed in Afghanistan when the vehicle they were in was hit by a IED. The last names are written on his hand: Ballard, Hamer, and Juarez. He chanted their names while he ran the race: Ballard, Hamer, and Juarez. According to reports, Herndon's legs began to fall near the end of the race. While about 100 yards left to the finish line, there he had nothing left. He just collapsed. His goal was to make it in time to run in the New York City Marathon, because in order to qualify for the New York City Marathon, he has to have a time in the Boston Marathon. But he didn't make his time. Well, this was a real person, had a real problem. Just like you and I, we are real people and we have problems and struggles that we face. In preparation for this message, I found this picture, which I think is pretty cool. I grew up in Jacksonville, and there's a park like this one. This one is in Seattle. This picture comes from Seattle. And what it is basically the bank in which this tree was growing is being washed, being hammered by the tides going in and out. And erosion is happening, so the ground is literally being washed out from underneath the tree. And it's being held up by its roots. Its struggle is intense. When you think about struggles of life, our struggles are intense at times. And we have difficulties that we face. Because real people have real struggles. Real people have real problems. But real people also have real faith. Real people that have real problems can use their real faith in the real world. We can be encouraged by the examples of others. And that's why James, when he wrote the book of James, he gives us some good points in which we can stand and trust on and put our hope in. The book of James is considered in many ways the Proverbs of the New Testament, because he has a lot of nice little thoughts that just kind of he throws out there for us. To get us to think about what God is doing in our lives. And it's no different when we read the first few verses of chapter 1. James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, greetings. So first of all, we get an identity of who he's writing to. He's writing to those who are part of the 12 tribes. Now, that's an interesting language because it kind of points us back to Jewish culture. But it's more than just the Jewish culture, because it's also the identity of Christians. Because we as followers of Jesus Christ, we're the new Israel, established in Christ Jesus under a new covenant. We are the dispersed that he's writing to. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing in your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubt. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. where the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and the flowers falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So to the rich man, in the midst of his pursuit, will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trials, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among creation, among his creatures. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this verse, these verses from the book of James, and reflect on the message that we are seeing here, may our hearts be centered on what you want us to see and what you want to accomplish in us today. As we face the trials of our life, as we deal with the struggles that we deal with, may we always be centered on what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The first point we want to point out in this passage is real faith sees growth through adversity. You know, when you look at life, we have trials, we have struggles. From a very young age, we have to learn, we have to depend on others to give what we need. And as a father, I've learned that I don't think you can make a baby happy. In many ways, they, no matter what they do, they always have something to fuss about. And so we have to teach them contentment and encourage them to understand, hey, you have food in your belly, you have everything you need, a roof over your head, you have all these luxuries. Why can't you be happy for at least 30 seconds and give us a break? At least my wife and I have, well, actually more my wife have, and I, my wife has discovered here lately that sleep has become it's a rare commodity in a home with a baby. They find things to fuss about even in the middle of the night. I'm still trying to figure out what it is that you're fussing about at that hour. But do you hear what James writes in this passage? He said, when you face various trials, not if, but when. Real people know life is not fair. Real people know that bad things can happen to good people. We know it's silly to believe that it's always rainbows and unicorns. Even when there's a rainbow outside, there's always a struggle going on, isn't there? Just because everything is perfect one moment doesn't mean it's going to be perfect the next. Even so, when we feel we're getting more than our fair share of troubles, we say, enough already. Enough. I don't want to go through this anymore. And then you'll have someone come and tell you, no, what doesn't kill you, go ahead. You can finish it. Makes you stronger. I just want to say sometimes, well, you can be stronger too. And you can go through this. Because after all this, I should be able to overcome any struggles. Because I have already overcome the struggles that I have gone through. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. He also said that he had overcome the world. That is why our faith in God is tested. But he also said this, when we go through our struggles and our trials, we're not going through them alone, are we? We can trust that he is right there with us. We all recall the footprints of in the sand. You know, the poem that in many ways got a lot of attention. I know it's printed on a lot of different pieces of cardboard and hung in homes for many years. And there's that poem. What does it tell us? That the writer says that he looks back and he only sees one set of footprints. And he says, well, I was alone. And Jesus' response was, no, that's when I was carrying you. And Jesus carries us through our troubles. He will carry us through our struggles if we allow him to. Untested faith is an idea. It's something about God, but faith that has been tested in personal and historical. When your faith is tested and you've come through the test, your gratitude now has a reference point. You are not who you were five minutes ago, are you? Think about that for just a moment. We are ever changing. We're ever developing. When you think about the life you live, every moment you have changed. Every moment you become a new person. A new idea comes into your mind of what Christ has done for you. And it gives you something more to think about and something more to be appreciative of. This morning I had the privilege of discussing with the young people in kids' church what this is all about. You know, have you ever thought about why do we come together on Sunday mornings? Oh, it's because they did it back in the Bible days. They met together first day of the week. That's why we're doing it today, isn't it? No, there's more to it. Hebrews tells us, do not forsake the fellowship of believers. Why? Because it's honoring God? Well, think about that for just a moment. Is God that simple of a God that he needs us to remind him how good he is? No. God gave us the church for our purpose, for our edification, for our strengthening of the body, for our encouraging of one another. That's why it's important to point out when Paul writes in the various letters in Galatians and Ephesians, he talks about come together, sing psalms of hymns of praise, not to God, but to one another. In other words, encourage one another, strengthen one another. Help develop each other's walk with the Lord. We need each other to grow in the Lord. There's a wonderful proverb that talks about this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need to encourage one another, especially as the days grow darker and the trials of life happen. We need encouragement because our faith needs to grow. Our faith needs points to look back at and say, because of what I went through on that moment in my life, I am who I am today. You are who you are today because of the challenges that you face in this life. Not necessarily the good times, because yeah, the good times are good. But do they really change us? When things go good, we just keep on going the same way we're going. Not looking forward, not looking to change anything. We just kind of keep on going, being who we're happy with who we are. But when struggles come and trials come, that's when we start trying to find new answers and new ways. When you go to the doctor and you get the prognosis, you want recommendations of what to do to improve your health. You want to change something so that something improves. And the same goes with our faith. Our faith needs a place of reference to say, because I went through this trial, because I went through this struggle, and I saw God deliver me, through these struggles, I can now stand firm in His promise because He is faithful at this point. He will be faithful through it all. God is faithful. He gives us the trials and the struggles because we need them. We don't like them, but we need them. James just about says this point blank, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I know that sounds kind of, how is that possible? But consider what we've learned. Most of the time from the struggles we've had, we gain strength and understanding. We're more patient. We understand more. And more, some people go through and are relatable to their struggles. That's growing. That's growing together. When we grow together, we understand the struggles of each other. And understanding the struggles of each other means we come alongside and we do what the Bible says. The Bible says, bear with one another's burdens. In other words, when my burdens are bringing me down, that's when it's your turn to lift me up. When your burdens are bringing you down, that is when it's my turn to lift you up. In my first preaching ministry up in Georgia, I had a lady that was fairly a recluse. And what I mean by that is she isolated herself. Her sister had moved away from the area and she lived down here in Florida, and this lady lived up in Georgia. She got out maybe once in a while to get her hair done, and that was pretty much it. She didn't even buy a lot of groceries. There was some individuals that she had encountered in her time that would bring her meals, and she would eat those meals, and that was it. And a lot of times she wouldn't eat the whole meal. She'd save the rest for later. But there was a period when Bobby kept missing the service, and I kept asking, what was going on? Where's she at? Where's she at? Is she okay? What's going on? And nobody had an answer. Finally, one of the members stood up, and he said, just to let everyone know, Bobby's in the hospital. She's been in there for a few weeks, and she fell, and she blacked out, and she busted herself up pretty good. But my wife and I have been taking care of her. And a lot of folks in our congregation didn't necessarily like that. They were like, well, what about us? Why couldn't we help her? So I went and visited Bobby at the hospital, and I talked to her. And I encouraged her to think about something for a moment. When you don't share with people what you're going through, they're missing out on an opportunity to be a blessing to you. And you're taking that from them. Is that fair to them? See, we're here for such a short while. And it takes a lot of work to be a blessing to each other. Because sometimes we have to swallow our pride and we have to just deal with things. But that's what we're here to be. We're here to be a blessing to one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to strengthen one another so that our faith may grow together. In looking at this passage, we are to look through our struggles and say, this is an opportunity to find joy. In spite of the situation, I can find joy in this moment. But how does our faith grow? Are there ways to see that? Growing is often a measurable thing. We can measure our growth. James lets us know how we can measure. Faith grows in our endurance. When you are working at things, you become more and more, and you can take more and more. James says, when our faith is tested, endurance has a chance to grow. The chance aspect is significant because we can opt out. We can say, God, I don't like this. I don't want to crawl across the line. I don't want to go through this. We decrease our chance to grow when we say we're going to let go of things that make us angry. By quietly not forgiving someone, we decrease the chance to grow. We tell God we're going to give Him control, but when things get tough and we start to worry, we take over that control again. When it comes to our endurance needs one thing, and that is our faith. We have to put our faith in God. We need our endurance to be strong, to overcome the trials and tribulations of this age. The other area our faith grows is in our wisdom. The verse very clear, it says, if anyone is lacking, he should ask God. When Solomon was taking the position as king of Israel, God came to him and said, ask for anything and I'll give it to you. And Solomon's request was, give me wisdom to lead your people. And because of that request, God granted him not only wisdom, but all the other things that his heart would decide, could possibly imagine. God gave him the wisdom that he needed. And our need today is our wisdom needs to be attached to God's will in our life. Not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of this age, but the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God is pointing to eternity, not what's going on right now. Sometimes we have to worry about the end result, not the results of right this moment. God has a plan, and He'll see you through His plan if you have the wisdom to trust. Because that's the next part. Real faith grows in trust. Faith can be relied on because it's about God. Our trust isn't in ourselves, but in God. He's the one giving us the patience to endure and the wisdom to choose well. The rewards for to create a track record that, as I say, reminds you and me of another promise God has kept. See, everything God has done is recordable, and He wants you to see His work in your life. I would encourage you, if you don't do so already, I would encourage you, take the time to have a prayer journal. Prayer journal is simple to keep up with. We have the prayer requests here in our bulletins and everything. But a prayer journal is where you actually take the time to see God respond to your prayers. You have your prayer, and then you say, I'm praying for so-and-so. And then every chance you get an update on how so-and-so is doing. And when God finally, and when the answer comes, you write down, this is the outcome of my prayers. This is how God has showed His faithfulness in this time. God wants us to understand His faithfulness. We sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But do you truly understand and appreciate His faithfulness in your life and what He has done for you to this point and what He will continue to do from this point forward? But there's more. Real faith can grow. Real faith grows in endurance, wisdom, and trust. And real faith distinguishes what's from God and what's not. J. James says, don't say God is tempting me, because God himself can't be tempted and doesn't tempt people. God doesn't set up the spiritual speed traps. He doesn't put signs on the road or cover them up and then pull you over. What he does do is tell story after story of people who have heard him and have trusted him. Some of the stories are about people who obeyed, and some of the stories are about people who didn't. What I would say to you today is, if I told you the stories of the people who obeyed God and ended up with those people getting punished, if I told you the people who didn't obey were rewarded, what would you say? You'd say, that doesn't sound like God. You'd say, if that's what God does, I don't want any part of it. Just a basic understanding of what God and what he's doing is to see that God is faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. But he's not looking for reason to condemn us. In fact, he's looking for the exact opposite. He's provided the way to save us from ourselves. By taking our focus off of our unfaithfulness and putting our focus on his faithfulness, we overcome our greatest struggle of all. And that is the struggle we face every day of giving up. It's when you put your focus on you that you have a greater chance of giving up. It's not when you put your focus on him, because he is faithful. We see the struggles that we face in our life. We see them every day. And we can overcome them if we just trust in what he's doing in our life. We also have to know this, that grace is the greatest gift of all. Now for the rest of the story, as in the words of Paul Harvey. This morning we started off the message with the story of Michael Herndon and his goal of finishing that race, the race in honor of his fallen troops. His friends that he lost in Afghanistan, and how he ran the race, but at the end of the race he couldn't finish it because his legs given out and he ended up crawling across. Now, I told you his goal was to make the time so that he could run in the New York City Marathon. Well, his faithfulness in finishing the race got the attention of the New York City Planning Committee, and they sent an invitation for him to run in the New York City Marathon, in spite of the fact that he didn't finish in the right time. He still has an open invitation to run in the New York City Marathon. What a great example of grace, isn't it? Because of his faithfulness in finishing the race, grace provided a reward, the reward that he was looking for. The grace of the New York City Marathon organizers to extend an invitation to him. They didn't have to. They chose to. Isn't that the way God works? He doesn't have to forgive us. He's chosen to forgive us. And because of his grace, we can endure the struggles that we face in this world, even though it may take us crawling across the finish line. We'll get to that finish line, and we'll hear those words upon our arrival. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done on your behalf. The grace that I have given you, you have made. You have completed the task. You have run the race. Now receive your reward. you can count on that in Christ Jesus. Because God has been faithful to this point in your life, He will see you through for all eternity. Think about His faithfulness this week. When you face the trials that are guaranteed to come, they come, don't they? You don't have to wait for them. They just come. We can put our trust in what God is doing because He is faithful. Heavenly Father,